And we're holding on Ayin Beis Omud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. The line begins Peturim. We were discussing the question still of an oral. We started the parak saying that an oral can't eat truma, and we're still discussing various dinim about him. So we mentioned that an oral is actually kosher. Rabbi Lazar had said that an oral is kosher to sprinkle paradrum water. And we mentioned, and we said we said a kavachomer because even a tvul yom could, as we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara, we know that a tvul yom can prepare the paradrum. And in fact, we brought a braisa that said so. On the other hand, we brought a different braisa that says that no, you know, an oral or a suffolk oral is possible to be mechadish. And then we said, we also discussed in that braisa, what about an androgynous, where the Tanakhama says that he could, because as long as he has a bris milah on the male part, then fine, we don't care that he also has a female part. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda had said that no. Which now we're going to discuss why Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama disagree with that. But we said that second braisa that we brought would be according to Rabbi Akiva, who would say that an oral is like a tomei. But Rava says, I don't really like that because you don't really find any place else where an oral is compared to a tomei. They neither one can do aliyah l'regel, but that's a special case because a person who has an orla is considered disgusting. That bears on the ear. That doesn't really bear on any place else. That doesn't really bear on any other dinim in the Torah. So the Gemara says, regarding what we said in the Braisa, again, we said that the Tanakhama had said that an androgynous could be Makadish paradrumal water, meaning to mix the ashes into the water. And Rabbi Yehuda said he's possible. So the Gemara says, for Ozdu Latayimai, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda are going according to their respective svaris that we find elsewhere. The Tanya, as we learn in another Braisa, Hakok Shedim Makadish, everybody is kosher to do kiddush mechatas, to mix the ashes of the paradrumah into the water. Chutz mecheresh shoyt v'katan, except for a cheresh shoyt v'katan, because they don't have das. But the point is that the Tanakhama would say that a woman can do it, and if a woman can do it, then so can a tumtum and an androgynous. Okay, a tumtum, we said, depends whether we consider them an oral or not, but anyway, an androgynous certainly could. Rabbi Yehuda machshu v'katan. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says that a cotton is kosher to do it. Opposed the issue of androgynous, but he says that a woman or an androgynous is possible to do kiddush mechatas. So my time with Rabbanon, why do the Chachamim hold that children are possible, but women are kosher? The Pasuk says, they should take for the tomei some of the ashes from the paradrumah and mix them with water and sprinkle them on him. So therefore, the Chachamim say, Hanach the pas. So therefore, now it says that directly after the part where it talks about bruning and preparing the part adrama. There are a few psukim in between that talk about dinim of tumas mes, but there's no other avoida in between such that you could say that whatever applied to one doesn't apply to this one. Therefore, Hanach the ksherin, Hanach the pasli ba'asif psulim b'kiddush. Therefore, the Chachamim say anybody who is possible to gather the ashes together after the part adrama is burnt, you need somebody to gather the ashes. And there the pasuk says va'asaf ish tahar. So they also psulim b'kiddush. So they would also be possible to do kiddush mechatas. And the Gemara explains elsewhere. There's Gemara in Yuma that explains that the word ish over there doesn't specifically mean a man as opposed to a woman. It means a man as opposed to a cotton. The Gemara learns over there actually that it means that the word va'asaf ish tahar does in fact include a woman. Rashi refers to the Gemara in Yuma over there explains that you have in a number of throughout that parasha of Parah Adumah, you have various things where the Torah seems to be making a miut of one thing compared to another, like here where it says ish tahar, where it could have said va'asaf, and in a lot of them we're saying mashma moitzim yad mashma, we're saying that where we have there was an implication that up until now a certain din applies, now we're saying the implication is that a different din applies, and one of those is this, that we're saying that when it says va'asaf ish tahar, it's not telling us that it has to dab to be an ish, because the previous psukim also tell us that what was done by an ish. So therefore, on the contrary, it tells us that it could be done by a woman, just that it can't be done by a cup. So therefore, so the Chachamim say that a woman could gather the ashes. And since directly after that, or without any avodah in between, the pasuk talks about mixing the ashes with the water. So Hanach the Kshirin Vasifa, Kshirin Vakiddush. Anybody who is kosher to gather the ashes is also kosher to sprinkle them, which therefore would include women, but would exclude Ketanim. Rashi says we're excluding them because, again, V'osaf Ish, Tosfos says you don't really need that. And the Gemara there in Yuma explains rather the word Ish comes to include a Zar, the word Tahar comes to include a woman, and then V'hiniach means that somebody who has Das, which a cotton doesn't have Das. So that's how the Chachamim get that men and women can gather together the ashes and can sprinkle them on the water to make part Adoma water, whereas we're saying that a cotton would be possible because he doesn't have Das, or because we're actually excluding him from something that it says based on implication that it says in the Pasuk. Okay, so that's a point of the Chachamim. But Rabbi Yehuda Amalach, Rabbi Yehuda will answer you that no, I don't learn the Pasuk that way. Im kein name a krov lokach. Because in that case, the Pasuk could have just said, the lokach, he should take. My velokhu, what does it mean they should take? Which is velokhu latome me'afaras reb zahatas. Now, in the next Pasuk, it does say that he should take. Velokach ezev, betova b'mayim, it says that he should take the ezev and dip it in water and so forth. But in the previous Pasuk, where it's talking about making the part adum water, it uses the expression velokhu. So why? Because Rabbi Yehuda says the Pasuk wants to imply that even those who were Pasul previously, I agree, says Rabbi Yehuda, that V'osaf Ish Tahar includes men and women, but not Ketanim. But here, on the contrary, the V'lokhu is telling us that it's different. So therefore, somebody who was Pasul over there is kosher over here. So the Gemara says, Yehochi Ishanami. Well, then, in that case, according to him, in that case, then a woman should be kosher. So why is he saying that a woman is possible to do kiddush? And the answer is v'nosan v'loy v'nosna, because after all the pasuk says v'lokach the v'lokhu latome, and then it says v'nosan olav, it says he should place the water and then the ashes into the keli. So the fact that it says v'nosan, which is in masculine form, and Tosfos points out it didn't even have to say the word v'nosan at all. Now it's not that we're saying because it says v'nosan in masculine form. In general, by default, the Torah uses masculine phrases. But the point is here, you don't even need it. It could have just said, v'lokhu latomim afar serv sachatas el mayim chayim el keli. So the fact that it adds the word v'nosan means, says Rabbi Yehuda, that means v'loy v'nosna, not she should place. So therefore, women are possible. But on the other hand, because we have a ribui from the says Rabbi Yehuda, from the fact that it says v'lokhu, then it implies that a cotton is kosher, even though before he would have been possible. V'rabbonon, what are the Rabbonon answer to that? They say iksiv v'lokach v'nosan, and no, you can't learn it that way, because if it's said in the singular that he should take the ashes and he should place them, have amin ashokro chad v'yohiv chad, you would think maybe it dafka has to be that one person takes the ashes and the other one puts them in the keli. You wouldn't realize that it means necessarily the same person. Kosev rachman of a lokhu, and therefore the Torah tells us v'lokhu to imply that it could be the same person or it could be not. You don't need to have different people for the purpose. Or actually, Tosfos says the other way around. The shokol chad v'yoyev chad would mean that maybe Davka, the one who puts the ashes in, Davka has to mix them together. So the v'lokhu makes it clear. It's not like that. You could have one person put in the ashes and a different one mix them. So therefore, kasev rachman of a lokhu. So the Torah tells us v'lokhu in order to tell us that. The e kasev rachman of a lokhu v'nosnu. And the chachamim then continue. If it said everything in the plural, if it continued with v'nosnu in the plural as well, and you, Rabbi Yehuda, are saying the fact that it changes to the singular, to the v'nosan, means to exclude a woman. No, because if it says v'lokhu v'nosnu, have amen the shakli tre, the avi tre. Then you would say that it means that dafki, you have to have two people take the ashes and two people mix them together. So therefore, the Torah phrases it this way to say that you could even have two people take the ashes and one of them mix them into the water. Or even one different person. It doesn't even have to be one of those same original people at all. So therefore, the Chachamim say that just the fact that it says v'nosan is not reason enough to pass a woman. Okay, since we're mentioning that, then the Gemara continues darshaning the continuation of the pasuk. The a couple of psukim later, it says v'hiza hatar. Now we said before in the course of the discussion, we started the discussion by saying that Rabbi Lazar had made a kavachomer that just like a tivul yom is also in truma, but he's allowed to handle and even to make and even to prepare the parah aduma. The same way with an oro, we said he's not allowed to eat truma, but he is allowed to handle and sprinkle the parah aduma water. So let's talk about where we get that. The pasuk says v'hiza ha-tohar ala tomei. It says the tohar should sprinkle the parah aduma ashes, the parah aduma water on the tomei. Now, why does it need to say tohar? We know already that that people who are tohar, that the people who are dealing with the parah aduma have to be tohar. After all, Rashi says the pasuk calls it a chatas, and that implies automatically that the people have to be tohar. So what it means is tohar miklal shehu tomei. It means he's tohar in a certain sense, but he's tomei in a different sense. So meaning, in other words, a tvuyim who is partially tohar, but not completely tohar. Limit up tvuyim shekoshim apara. From there, we learn that tvuyim is allowed to be involved with preparing the parah aduma and then burning it and then sprinkling the blood of it, and so on and so forth. This is where we learn from the fact that it says v'hizah tohar ala tomei that tvuyim can do it. And as we talked about yesterday, in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, the tzedukim claimed that it was, the tzedukim claimed that it wasn't so, and they said that davka has to be somebody who's completely tohar, and for that reason, the chachamim would davka make the koyan who prepared the parah aduma tome with some kind of tuma. The Rashi and Tosfos discuss in various other places in Shas, in particular at the beginning of Yuma, how they did that exactly. But one interesting point Tosfos makes based on a tesefta is maybe they would be matame him with a tuma d'rabbanan, namely. Everybody, once the Chachamim made this takana that the Tevul Yoim should, that Davka Tevul Yoim should do the Parah Aduma in order to demonstrate not that it's stoking, then there was a concern that anybody who, that then there's a concern that people are going to get careless with the standards for Parah Aduma, because after all, if Tevul Yoim can do it, then we're going to think it doesn't really require Tahara at all. So therefore, the Chachamim made extreme measures to protect the Tahara of the Parah Aduma. And among them is, we learned at the end of Chagiga, that anybody who's tohar for any other purpose, but not specifically for parah aduma, is considered tomei relative to parah aduma. So what they would do in this case is they would actually toast for spoons from a tesefta. They would lean the other kohenim and Sanhedrin or whoever was there would lean their hands on the kohen gadol's head as if like to give him the authority to do it. But in the course of that, they're also making him tomei with this toma, and then he would go in tovel, and then he would start the parah aduma process. So that was all based on this idea that was saying over here that a tzvul yoim can prepare the parah aduma. So that's where we learned it from. Okay. New discussion. Bo minei rav sheshes. Oral mahu b'maiser. Now, we've talked about so far that an oral is also to eat truma, and we said that, of course, he's also to eat the Korban Pesach. And there it says explicitly in the Pasuk. And we said we have different ways of learning how an oral is not allowed to eat Truma. We had Rabbi Eliezer's Zeta Shrova from Pesach, and we had Rabbi Akiva saying Ish Ish. So, oral mahu b'maiser. Would an oral be allowed to eat Maiser Shein? Do we say ki heifi b'yalef Pesach mi Maiser le'inyan aninus? Now, we've said that we learn from Maiser Sheni, where the Pasuk says by Maiser Sheni, lo yochalti ba'oni mimenu, I did not eat from it while I was in a state of aninus. And we learn from that that the same thing applies to the Korban Pesach. So once we're learning from Maiser to Korban Pesach le'inyan aninus, yalef nami Maiser mi'Pesach le'inyan adreilus, do we say that it goes the other way? And now we can say that since by Pesach it says that an oro can't eat it, then we can learn in the same way that we can learn Maiser from Pesach and say that Maiser also an oro can't eat it. Oiduma chomu mikal yalef kal mechomer lo yalef, or maybe only we can learn the Korban Pesach from Maiser Sheni because it's more stringent, but maybe we can't learn Maiser from Korban Pesach because it's more lenient. Tosfos says, what is the Gemara even thinking? Doesn't the Gemara know how a Kal Vachomer works? And so Tosfos says that actually, because there's two different ways of understanding it. Are we learning it by Gzeira Shava? And if it's Gzeira Shava, then it doesn't matter whether one is more Kal or more Chomer. Or are we learning it with a Kal Vachomer? And then, of course, if we're learning with a Kal Vachomer, then of course it has to be Kal from Chomer. Then it has to be Chomer from Kal, and not the other way around. Also, Tosfos says we learned at the beginning of the Perek that when we talked about the Gzeira Shava with Truma, we had to discuss the question of whether that Gzeira Shava is Mufna, whether the words that we're using for the Gzeira Shava are available on one side or on both sides, rather than that they're needed for some other din or for the Pshat of the Pasuk. Because otherwise, we said that Lamedin and Meshivin, we could learn the Kavachomer, but we could also slug it up. So now then, according to that, Tosfos says, the Gemara might be wondering, if even if we say that we're learning between Pesach and Ma'aser Sheni with a Gzeira Shava, and that's how we're learning that that an Onan can't eat Korban Pesach, is that in fact a Gzeira Shava? That's Mufna, or is it not? And if it's not Mufna, then we could slug it up. Anyway, so that's the question. So can we learn Ma'aser from Pesach like that? Or not. You can see there's a Mishnah from which you can derive the answer. The Mishnah says a truma v'abikurim chayavin aleihem misa v'chodesh. Both truma and bikurim have this in mind. For both of them, a person would be chayav misa if he eats them. Now, there's a few different meanings of that. It means, among other things, that Rashi says over here, that it means a person, a koyan who's tomei, who eats truma and bikurim would be, or truma or bikurim would be chayav misa b'dei shamayim. Elsewhere, Rashi explains that it means that if a zor eats it, then he's chayav misa. Tosfos points out over here that one of the next things that we're going to have is vasurim lazorim, and therefore so it can't necessarily mean that. So chayovan aleihem misa. So at any rate, there is misa b'dei shamayim involved with truma and bikurim. Number one, that if a kohen tome eats them, and number two, if a zor eats them, also v'choymesh, and then if a zor eats them b'shogeg, then he has to pay back the kohen the value of the truma that he ate. Actually, what he does is he gives him peiros, that he gives him the same kind of peiros plus a choymesh, plus an extra 25%, and those become truma. They gain the status of truma. So those things apply to truma and bikurim. It does not apply to ma'aser sheni, because Rashi points out there is a choymesh by ma'aser sheni, but that's something else. When you're poida, if you're redeeming your ma'aser sheni, because you have too much of it to take to your shalayim, and you're going to exchange it for money, and you're going to take the money to your shalayim, then you add a choymesh, but that's a different scenario. That has nothing to do with eating it b'shogeg. So truma and bikurim have choymesh, v'asurim lazorim, they are also for zorim to eat. So here's where Tosfos says, if you say, like Rashi does elsewhere, that chayovan aleihem misa means that a zor that eats them is chayav misa, then what is v'asurim lazorim added? But then what does v'asurim lazorim add? So Tosfos brings from the Aruch that it would mean, for example, that a zor is also to eat a chatzi shear of it, but Tosfos doesn't really. So you have a machloikas elsewhere where the chatzi shear is also daraisa or not. So we'd have to figure out then, are we dealing with according to the opinion that it's only also derabanan? And Tosfos Yeshanim says that still you could think also, even if you say that usually chatzi shiur osam in haTorah, but here, given that after all, this is not an isser that applies to everybody. It only apply after all. After all, truma is mutter to koyanim. So maybe the concept of chatzi shiur wouldn't apply, and therefore the Mishnah would have to be telling us, according to that first explanation of the Aruch, that in fact it does apply. So if a zor eats a chatzi shiur of it, it'd still be osur. He just wouldn't be chayiv misa. Tosfos brings from the Aruch another explanation that it means also to Zorim. It's permanently also to Zorim, even if you try redeeming it, because you can't redeem Truma or Bikurim. Tosfos points out later on, the Gemara is going to say that din is true, but it's one of the things the Mishnah left out. The Gemara is going to end up saying that the Mishnah left out more than one other thing, at least two other things that Truma and Bikurim have as opposed to Ma'aser. Anyway, there's more discussion in the Rishonim of what Asurim Lazorim means. The Meiri says it means that Yisrael is not allowed to have what's called Hanah Shel Kilui. He's allowed to have Hanah from Truma, but not Hanah of a kind that destroys it. For example, he can't feed it to an animal or light a lamp with it or something. Anyway, so those are various possibilities what Asurim Lazorim means. The Mishnah continues, Vehein Nichse Koyin. Truma and Bikurim also have this in common. They're considered the property of the Koyin, in the sense that he could do whatever he wants with them. Always in Shas, we always have the acid test of whether something is considered yours, is can you be Mekadosh a woman with it? If you can, if that Kiddushin is valid, it means that it's yours. Well, the halacha is that a Kohen can do that. A Kohen can take Truma or Bikurim and that he received and used them to name a Kaddish a woman. Obviously, if she's a Bas Yisrael, then she's going to have to wait to eat it until either the Nisuin is done, or it means that she's going to have to sell it to somebody else, a Koyan, to eat it, because she won't be able to eat it. But the point is that it is considered his property to be Mekadesh with. Also, Rashi says, from other Gemaras, that it means that the Koyan can take the Truma or the Bikurim and sell them to somebody else and use the money to buy anything he wants, even slaves or karka or behemoth tmeya, as opposed to Maisa Sheni is not. Maisa Sheni, you can only use the money of it for food. And even that, only certain kinds of food has to be, for example, you can't use it for water or salt or whatever. So that's something that Truma and Bikurim have that Maiser doesn't. Rashi points out most of the things we're listing in this Mishnah are chumras of Truma over Maiser. But here we have an example of something that's a kula with Truma and Bikurim. You're allowed to do something with them that you wouldn't be allowed to do with Maiser. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. Another thing you have as far as Truma and Bikurim that you don't have as far as Maiser is that they're brought up only using 101. Meaning, if Truma falls into Chulin, in order to be Mevatalit, you need 100 times as much Chulin. And once you have that, then fine, you take out an amount and give it to the Koyanim, and then the rest you're allowed to eat, because there's a concept called Gezel HaShevet. We don't want to steal the Truma from Shevet Levi, or specifically from the Koyanim of Shevet Levi. So if you have, let's say, a saw of wheat, fell into 100 saw, or 100 of saw of wheat of Truma, fell into 100 saw of wheat of Chulin, then fine, you don't want to deprive the Koyanim of the saw. So it is bottle at this point. So you take out a saw from the mixture and give it to them. That way they have their saw and the rest you're allowed to eat. As opposed to if it was less than that, the whole thing would be also to Zorim. You would have to sell the whole thing to Koyanim. So that's as far as Truma. Maiser, the usual rules of Bittul apply. You don't need 100 times as much for, in particular, for Yavish be Yavish. When you have dry mixed into dry, then you only need Roy. Anyway, so that's another thing about Truma and Bikurim as opposed to Maiser. And the Mishnah continues, T'unin rechitzes yadayim, you have to wash your hands before you eat Truma. Even Rashi says, even if we're talking about fruit, because your hands, after all, are shnias l'truma, and they're shnias l'truma, and they're going to pass over truma. Maiser and chulin, you don't really need to. On Pesach night, we wash our hands for wet vegetables, but the rest of the year we don't. In fact, Rashi brings from a Gemara in chulin that if a person does that the rest of the year, then it's gasos aruach. So that's another difference. The head of shemesh. Another difference is, which we're going to talk about this in tomorrow's Gemara Bez Hashem, that for Truma, you need head of Shemesh, but for Maiser, you don't. So Tvul Yoim is allowed to eat Maiser, but he's not allowed to eat Truma. Or Bikurim. So the Mishnah finishes off. Harel of Truma or Bikurim. So these things apply to Truma and Bikurim. Mashenkin ba Maiser. Each of these things do not apply to Maiser. So therefore, so that's the list. So Rav Sheshes understands that this list is exhaustive, that it lists all the differences between Truma and Bikurim versus Maiser. So Rav Sheshes says, so you're asking me whether an oro can eat Maiser. If in fact the halacha was that an oro could eat Maiser, nisni oro also behen mashenkin b'maiser, then it should say that. The fact that it doesn't mention that distinction implies that there is no such distinction, and in fact an oro can eat Maiser as well. Gemara says that's not a proof. Ton of a shayer, because you could say, as we do in many places, the Tana didn't give an exhaustive list. He gave a list and he left some things out. So this could be one of them. Okay, well then you have always the question, my shayer the high shayer. If you're going to assume that, then you have to assume that there's at least one. Then you have to say there's at least one other thing the Tana left out. If he left out two or more things, you could say, okay, fine, he didn't bother giving a full list. But if you say that there's only one thing missing, then there would have to be a reason why the Tana left that out. So if you're telling me that the Tana left out Oral, not because he doesn't hold of it, but because he left it out because he didn't give a full list, fine, what else is missing? And the answer is Shayo de Katoni Sefer. He left out the fact that the next Mishnah, that the Sefer, The next Mishnah there in Bikurim continues, on the other hand, yesh b'maisu b'bikurim mashenkin b'truma. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues that there are some things that maisu and bikurim have in common that truma does not have. So now we see, once we go through this list, we're going to see that there are things missing in that list. And if there are things missing in that list, then we can say there are things missing in the first list as well. Namely, first of all, Meiser and Bikurim both have to be brought to Yerushalayim, as opposed to Truma doesn't. You can give it to the Kohen anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Utunin Vidui, both of them require Vidui. Now there's different kinds of vidui, but they both require a statement in connection with them. Namely, in the case of Meiser, when you the pasuk describes, when you're finishing giving away your Meiser, the farmer doesn't give his Meiser, doesn't give his Meiser away right away. He can be storing it in his granary until a certain time. But then what comes by the end of the third year of the, by the time he's finished with the produce of the third year, meaning that he's halfway through the fourth year of the Shemitah cycle, he has to have given out all the Meiser Sheni and Meiser Oni and so on and so forth to everybody that it's supposed to go to. And then on Pesach of that year, then on Shvi Shal Pesach, there's different opinions when exactly during Pesach, he says the declaration that it says in Parashas Kisavo, be outi a kodesh min abayis, that I've removed all the kodesh from the house and I've given it to the Kohen and the Levi and so on and so forth and everybody that I'm supposed to give it to. So therefore, so Maiser Sheni involves a declaration. Bikurim also involves a declaration, because when you come to the Beis Hamikdash with your Bikurim, most of the time you say the Psukim, Higadti Ayem, Hashem Alekecha, and Arami Ovid Ovi, and then the next few Psukim, some of which we douse in the Haganah. So Maiser and Bikurim require that, as opposed to Truma does not. There's no particular declaration that you need to make with Truma. But also both Bikurim and Maiser Sheni are also for an Oinen to eat. But Reb Shimon disagrees and says that that's not something they have in common. He holds that Bikurim are in fact mutter for an Oinen to eat, for reasons that the Gemara is going to discuss later. Why Reb Shimon would allow an Oinen to eat it. The Mishnah continues. V'chayoven bebir. Also, Maiser Sheni and Bikurim both have this in common. They both are required to undergo beer. Namely, what we just said, as far as Maiser Sheni and all Maisers, and also Bikurim, if you didn't bring them to your Shalayim, if you didn't do with them what you're supposed to, then you have to bring them, and you have to make that declaration that we just said. And if you didn't bring them, then Rashi says Misbarin b'chomakam shame, then you have to destroy them wherever they are, because you can't do anything else with them. So both of them have beer, whereas in other words, they both have a deadline by which they have to be brought, as opposed to Truma does not. Tosfos actually discusses that there is a bit of a difference in the beer of them. Beer Maiser, we're saying, is only after several years. Beer of Bikurim would be every year after Sukkos, because we say that if a person designated as Bikurim before Sukkos and then Sukkos passed, then he has to leave them to rot, because after Sukkos, he can't be saying the declaration of Higadti Ayem Hashem Alekecha, and therefore that makes them possible, because if he had separated them to begin with at a time when he didn't have to make the declaration, then it wouldn't be a problem. But now that status changed, then the Gemara says over there, Yeroku. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss and say maybe not necessarily. That's a special case over there. Precisely because of that, because you were supposed to make the declaration and now you can't anymore. So therefore, Tosfos says that no, and Tosfos goes on to say, the Re says in Tosfos that no, in fact, beer of Bikurim is exactly the same as beer of Maisris, namely that it only has to take place after several years, in the fourth year. So that's another thing they have in common. Reb Shimon Poter, again, Reb Shimon disagrees and says Bikurim do not require beer. Even indefinitely, so you could keep them indefinitely and eventually bring them, or Tosfos brings the other possibility that it would mean that once you give them to the Kohen, then the Kohen doesn't have to dispose of them, because he can keep them as long as he wants, just like Truma. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. Now, so that's the Mishnah. Now, What are, now? So we're saying that, so the Mishnah is listing a bunch of things that Maisu and Bikurim have in common, and Truma doesn't. But let's consider there are more things. Also the Vayim Mehen B'Truma. Now there is also the fact that you're not allowed to use them up. You're not allowed to burn them or destroy them in a state of Truma. Meaning, in other words, that Truma, for example, you're allowed to. If you have oil of Truma that's Tomei, you're allowed to light it. You're allowed to put it in a lamp and burn it. But on the other hand, Bikurim and Maisa Sheni are not like that. If they become Tomei, then there's nothing you can do with them. And the Mishnah is not mentioning that. And also the Oichlan B'Tumas Atzman Loike, and also the fact that if a person eats Bikurim or Maisa Sheni when the food is Tomei, then he's getting Malkus, as the Gemara is going to discuss later. Mashenkin B'Truma. Now, neither of those things are true of Truma. Truma, a person's not a Kohen, not allowed to eat Truma when he's Tomei. If he eats the Truma when it's Tomei, then he's over on an Isser Esse. But there's no Malkus for an Esse. So we see that there's two things that the Mishnah is leaving out over there in its list of things that Maisu and Bikurim have in common, and Truma does not. It left out two things. Alma Toni Vashire. So we see that in that second part of the Mishnah, or in the second Mishnah, whatever, then it leaves things out. So therefore, we can assume that in the first Mishnah also, the fact that it left out whether an Oro can eat Maisa Sheni doesn't prove that he can't, like Rav Sheshes is saying. Maybe he could, and just the Mishnah didn't give us an exhaustive list. Later on Daf Ayin Dalet, which we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, the Gemara is going to get back to this point, and we discuss this question of whether an Oral is allowed to eat Maisa Sheni. But meanwhile, let's deal with several other things that we said in this Mishnah. We said Va'asurin La'onin V'Rav Shimon Matir. We said that Truma and not Truma, Bikurim and Maisa Sheni are both also for an Oinin to eat, as opposed to Truma, we said, is Mutter. And we said, on the other hand, Rav Shimon says that Bikurim also can be eaten by an Oinin. So Manolahu, where do the Chachamim versus Rav Shimon get their opinions from? So like this, Dichtiv, you have a pasuk in Parashas Re'eh that lists many of the things that you're not allowed to eat out, that lists all the different things that you're not allowed to eat outside Yerushalayim. And it says, Lo sucha lecha b'sharecha masad goncha tiroshcha b'tzarecha b'gomer. You're not allowed to eat in your gates, meaning in your cities outside Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to eat the miser, meaning miser sheni, of your grain and wine and oil and so forth. And it lists several other things in the pasuk. And then it says, Surumas yodecha, and the truma of your hand. And v'omamar trumas yodecha ela bikurim. We learn elsewhere, and on the side over here, it mentions that it's from Gzeira Shava. We learn that the word trumas yodecha refers to bikurim. So the pasuk is telling you that you can't eat bikurim outside your shalim. So Rashi points out that you have an essay involved because the Torah tells you you should bring them to your shalim, implying that you have to bring them to the Beis Mikdash, actually, implying that if you didn't, you're over on an essay. But here we have, in addition, there's a lois essay that you're not allowed to eat them outside the Beis Mikdash. That you're not allowed to eat them outside your shalim, rather. So that covers Bikurim, that they have to be eaten in your shalim, and the Itkash Bikurim Lamaiser. Now, we have in this pasuk, we have a hekesh between Bikurim and Maisa, because the pasuk is starting to say Masa Dugon Chatiro Shvei Tarecha, and it finishes off with Surah Masi Adecha. So therefore, certain dinim that apply to one are going to apply to the other. Therefore, Ma Maisa Osula Oinen Af Bikurim Osula Oinen. So therefore, the same way as Maisa Sheni cannot be eaten by an Oinen, and there we know, because the pasuk says explicitly Lo Yachalti Ba'oni Mimenu. So neither can Bikurim be eaten by an Oinen. That's the Tanakam. V'Rav Shimon, what does Rav Shimon answer to that? He says, fine, you have a hekesh. Okay, but Truma Karina Rachmana. After all, the Pasuk is calling Bikurim, and this Pasuk is calling it Truma. It's calling it Truma Siodecha. And therefore, Ma Truma Muteres La'onin, and Truma we know is Mutter to an Onin. We learned at the beginning of the Perek because we said that since it says V'chol Zor Lo Yoicha Boy, it means that a Zor is not allowed to eat Truma, but an Onin is. So therefore, Rav Shimon says that just like Truma is allowed, Af Bikurim Mutar La'Oinin, in the same way, it would be true of Bikurim as well. So therefore, that's where the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon get their respective opinions. Now next, v'chayovin b'biyur v'Reb Shimon poter. We said another thing that Maisu and Bikurim, Maisu Sheni and Bikurim have in common, and Truma does not, was we said that Maisu Sheni and Bikurim require beer, however we define beer. Truma does not. And we said Reb Shimon poter, and again, Reb Shimon had said that Bikurim do not require beer. So why is that? Mar Makish or Marle Makish? Because the Tanakhama holds of the Hekish that we just said, and Reb Shimon, for the same reason as before, he says, Tosfos says, because the Pasuk, on the other hand, calls Bikurim, because the Pasuk calls Bikurim Truma, therefore he says, the fact that you have a Hekish with it in the Pasuk, with Maaseh Sheni, that's overridden by the fact that it's called Truma, and therefore the dinim that apply to Truma apply to it. So therefore, since Truma, there's no concept of beer, a Kohen can hold on to Truma as long as he wants, therefore neither does it apply to Maaseh, says Reb Shimon. Now, we said that there were things that are left out in the Mishnah. There are things that the Mishnah could have listed and it didn't. And we said that shows that Tonav Ashayer. So those things are, we said, we said you're not allowed to use up Bikurim or Maaseh Sheni when they are Tomei, as opposed to Truma. Again, we said you are, because you're allowed to take Truma, you're allowed to take oil of Truma and burn it. Or other things of Truma that are flammable and burn them. On the other hand, you're not allowed to do that with Bikurim and with Maaseh Sheni. And we also said, we said also that if a person eats Bikurim or Maaseh Sheni while he's Tomei, then he's going to get Malchus, as we said, which we said as opposed to Truma, where there's only an Issu Esse involved if the Truma is Tomei. So Manolan, where do we know that from? So Tanya, we learned a Braisa, Reb Shimon Omer, when the Pasuk says about Maaseh Sheni, it says loy bi out mimenu b'tomei. It says I did not use it up in tuma. Means bein shani tomei b'hu toher. So whether I was tomei and the maaseh sheni was toher, bein shani toher b'hu tomei, or whether I was toher and it's tomei, then therefore either way, I'm declaring that I didn't do that. Now the Rambam points out a rule. This seems to be the only place in the Torah where you have it, but where the Torah tells you that you have to be able to declare, I didn't do such and such, then it implies that doing such and such is allowed. So if the Torah is telling you, you have to be able to declare by Vidri Meiser, Loi be out in Menu Batome, then that implies that be out in Menu Batome would be allowed. So that's where we get that from. Now, by Truma, we find no such thing. In fact, by Truma, we find a different pasuk that implies that you are, in fact, allowed to use up Truma while it's Tomei. Again, that you're allowed to take, for example, oil of Truma, which is Tomei, and put it in a lamp and use it for lamp oil. Okay. V'heicha muzer alachilosoi. But now the Braisa continues. So now the Braisa continues. V'heichan muzer alachilosoi. Okay, but where do you actually have an issu in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat it while it's tomei? In other words, the fact that it says loy bi'outi mimenu b'tomei. Loy bi'outi would mean, for example, that I didn't use it. I didn't use it. Let's say, for example, for lamp oil. But how do we know that also includes eating? So any idea. So the Braisa says, I don't know. And the Gemara interjects in the middle of the Braisa. What do you mean? Trumas haguf behedik sibbeh. It says clearly that a person who is tomei trumas haguf is not allowed to eat it. It says nefesh hashitir gaboy v'toma ad orev. It says that if a person touches, which means eats, truma, then if a person touches any source of truma, the toma ad orev, then he becomes tome until the evening. The lo yoicha min hakodoshim, he should not eat from the kodshim. Now, kodshim, in this context, Rashi says, we're going to learn later on in the sugya, we'll learn on Ein Dalet Amud Beis, actually refers to Maaseh Sheni. So v'lo yechem in a kodashim, he should not eat from the kodashim, meaning ma'isa sheni, kim rochatz psore b'mayim, until he dips in a mikveh. This is in fact where we learn, we touched on before, we said that a tvo yoim is mutter in ma'isa sheni. Later on ayin dalet amud beis, the Gemara is going to show from this pasuk that that's what it means. That since we're going to explain there that kodashim in that pasuk refers to ma'isa sheni, and the pasuk says that he only needs the tovel, implying that he doesn't need a head of shemesh. So there you go, a tvo yoim is allowed to eat ma'isa sheni. But right there, it says clearly, the lo yocham in a kodashim. He's not allowed to eat the kodashim until he goes to the mikveh. So what do you mean? You don't know where it says that you're not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni in a state of tumah. So the Gemara answers, hochi kamei ba'yilei, right. But what the Tana was wondering is, tumas atzma minayin. Fine, from that pasuk that we just quoted, we know that a person is not allowed to eat ma'isa sheni while he is tomei. But how do you know that you're not allowed to eat the ma'isa sheni while it's tomei? Again, just because it says lo bi'auti mimena b'tomei, maybe that means you're not allowed to use it for other purposes, for example, for firewood or whatever. But how do we know that that also includes that you're not allowed to eat it? So for that, we need a different pasuk. Talmud lema lo sucha lecha b'charecha masa d'goncha. We have the pasuk that we quoted before early on the Amud that says you're not allowed to eat bisharecha in your gates, meaning in the cities outside your shalayim. You're not allowed to eat a number of different things, the first one being ma'isa sheni. And ulahalanu oimer bisharecha techlanu. Elsewhere, also in Parashas Re'eh, the pasuk says regarding psulei amukdoshin, about you have an animal that was meant for a korban and now became fossil, for example, because it developed a mum. So you redeem it. Now anybody's allowed to eat it. And the pasuk says bisharecha techlanu. You're allowed to eat it in your gates, meaning in your cities. You can eat it anywhere you want. The tomei and the tahor can eat it together, just like they would eat the meat of a deer or a gazelle. And the tonei dveda bishmol, afilu tomei b'tahor, oichlan shulchan echad b'kor achas vein choshishim. Now, Rabbi Shmuel says what that means is not only that tomei and tahor can sit at the same table, it means they could even be eating out of one plate, and there's no problem that the tomei is going to be making the food tomei as he picks up a piece and as he touches a piece, because it doesn't matter. Psulei mukdashin, you're allowed to eat when they themselves are tummy. Now, the Ka'omer Rahmana, now by using the same word bisharecha, what the Torah is telling you is, so it's saying bisharecha techlanu. In other words, the definition of eating bisharecha is eating atomi v'hatar yachnav. And the pasuk is telling you how wuda amilach hosam bisharecha techlanu, this that I'm telling you later on in Parashas Re'eh, that you're allowed to eat psulei amukdashin in bisharecha, that you're allowed to eat the tomei and the tahor, are allowed to eat together, and there's no problem the food being tomei, but the Torah is telling you, when it comes to ma'isa sheni, you can't do that. You can't eat bisharecha. So besides that bisharecha means you can't eat it elsewhere outside your shalayim, it also means, by using the same word bisharecha, it's not even really a gzeira shava. It's just telling us, what is the definition of eating bisharecha, is atomei v'hatar yach. So therefore, by ma'isa sheni, you're not allowed to do that. Well, there is your lav, that you're not allowed to eat ma'isa sheni when it's tomei. So, like most lavim, a person gets malchus for it. So that's where we get what we said at the top of the Amud. That's what we said before, that ton of a shire, the Mishnah had left out that if a person eats ma'isa sheni or bikurim, the tumas atzman, that if when the food itself is tummy, it gets malchus. This is where we learn it from the fact that it says, lo'isucha lecha b'sharecha, as opposed to truma itself is not listed in that pasuk, and truma, in fact, you are allowed to eat anywhere. Now, it's not that you're allowed to eat tomei truma, but a person who eats tomei truma is not over on a lab, he's only over on an essay. Next. We said masha'enkin b'truma. Now, we said, on the other hand, truma is not like that. Truma, you are allowed to use up while it's tomei. Like we said, for example, that you can take oil of truma and put it in a lamp. So manolon, where in fact we know that from. The pasuk says loy bi out mi menu b'tomei. The pasuk says about ma'aser sheni, it says I didn't use up from it when it was tomei, which the mimenu is a mute. It means mimenu iatamavir, means you're not allowed to burn or otherwise destroy ma'isa sheni when it's tomei. And as we said, that a person is chayiv malchus for it, avalatamavir shemen shel truma shenikma. But it means that you are allowed to burn oil of truma that was tomei. And similarly, other things of truma that could be burnt, you're allowed to burn them. So the Gemara says, the aimam imenu atam iatam maver atam aval atam maver shemen shokodesh shenitma. How do you know that it's referring to truma? How do we know that when the pasuk is saying imenu and implying that there's something else that you're allowed to use while it's tamei? Who says it's talking about truma? Maybe it means oil of kodshim, which would mean Rashi says, let's say you have oil that was designated for a korban mincha, because a korban mincha, after all, one of the ingredients is oil, and then that oil became tamei. Maybe the pasuk is telling you that you're allowed to burn that oil with truma, but who says we're talking about truma? The Gemara says, "Lav kavachomer hu nu, wouldn't it be a kavachomer? Umam meiser akal omatoru lebiarter menem b'tomei kodesh chomer lekolshken nu." If you're saying that even meiser sheni, which is more lenient in many ways, you and because for example zorim can eat it, and yet the Torah is telling you that you're not allowed to burn it while it's tomei kodesh chomer lekolshken. How much more so kodshim, which have many chumras over meiser sheni. So the Gemara says, "Okay." A truma you can make the same kavachomer. Truma also has many chumras over ma'aser sheni, as in fact the Gemara is going to list in a minute. The Gemara says, okay, haksiv mimenu. The fact is, you have the miur from the word mimenu. So therefore, in other words, if we have on the one hand we have a kavachomer that would tell us that we have that if ma'aser sheni is also in something, then certainly something else which is more chomer has to also be. On the other hand, we have a miur from the word mimenu implying that there's something else where it's mutter. Then we're going to say that the ister applies to kodshim and the heter applies to truma. So you wouldn't be allowed to take oil of kodshim, for example, oil or mincha, and use that for lamp oil, but you would be allowed to for truma. Well, the Gemara says, as it usually does in these kinds of things, or Mara Isa. Well, then what makes you see it that way? If you're telling me we have on the one hand a kavachomer to aso something, and on the other hand we have a miut, which you want a darshan that it means from the word mimenu, that it means that something else is allowed. So, and you're saying that one applies to kodshim and the other one to truma. So what's your logic? What's your logical basis for saying that truma is more lenient and kodshim not? So the Gemara says, "Mistabra kodesh lo mamayitna." It's more logical to say that we're not going to be mamayit kodesh. We're going to say that oil of kodesh is in fact also to be burnt while it's tamei. Shekein panak achas, because you have six things in which kodesh has astringency over truma. Pigel and noiser, we know those. The concept of pigel and noiser apply only to kodshim. They don't apply to truma. Korban, the fact that it's a korban. It's called a korban. You bring it into the Beis Hamikdash. Truma, you don't. Then me'ila. That me'ila applies to it, where it doesn't to truma. A person, for example, a person uses kodshim for his purposes, for any purposes. Then he's chayev mezid, he's chayev malchus, but sure, he's chayev a korban and to pay back. Truma, you have, fine, if a zori eats truma, he has to pay for it, but you don't really have the concept of me'ila, that if a person uses truma for his own purposes, that he should be chayiv something for it, not really. So you don't have that. Also kores, also that if a person eats kodshim in a way that he's not supposed to, then he's chayiv kores. For example, if he's tomei, or if he's an onen, then he's chayiv kores, as opposed to truma, then truma, we said, an onen is allowed to eat. And if he eats it when he's tamei, then he's not getting koris for it. And for osur la'onin, and there's the sixth thing, the samach is osur la'onin, that kodshim are osur to an onin, as opposed to we've established that truma is not. In fact, Tosfos points out that on the face of it, there could have been more things that the Gemara could have added. There's the fact that, for example, kodshim have revi, you can go all the way down to revi la truma. Shlishi doesn't. You have the concept that we learned at the end of Chagiga of chibas hakodesh, that you have even things that in and of themselves wouldn't be susceptible to truma, or if they're part of kodshim. And there's a bunch of other things that we say that apply to kodesh and not truma. Anyway, so therefore, so you have, but at least the Gemara is saying you have six things in which kodesh has a chumra over truma, and therefore it's more logical to say that if we're going to be memayat something and say that there's something that you're not allowed to eat while to consume, to use it, for example, for fire while it's tamei, then it's more logical to say that that's kodesh. The Gemara says, "Adrabat truma loy mamayitna." On the contrary, though, we could say that truma, we shouldn't be mamayit. We should say that there's something stricter about truma. Chicane Machpaz, because after all, we have an acronym of four things that apply to Maaseh Sheni, that apply to Truma rather, and don't apply to Korbanos. Number one, Misa, a person, a Zor who eats Truma, or Kohen Tomei who eats Truma, is Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim, as opposed to with Korbanos not. Now, Tosfos says, one second, didn't we, before, among the six things of Kodshim, we said Kores. We said that was the Chof. The fifth item was Kores. So why before we assume that Kores is more stringent, and now all of a sudden we're assuming that Maaseh Sheni is more stringent, that Misa B'dei Shemayim is more stringent? Tosfos says that no, we don't mean that one is more stringent than the other. We mean, in other words, that there are certain Kodshim that Zorim are allowed to eat. A Zor can eat a Shlomim, for example. But Truma, there's never any case where a Zor can eat it. So there's that. Different other Rishonim talk about different possibilities. One interesting possibility is that maybe Kores involves, yes, the person is cut off and he dies young. And we learned earlier in the Masechta that Kores may even involve that his children die young. On the other hand, there's an opinion that says that Misa B'dei Shemayim in a way is worse, because not only that, but the person's property also ends up getting lost. His property ends up, instead of his heirs being able to inherit his property, it ends up that Hashem arranges that it gets lost and destroyed. So that could be one chumrah of Misa B'dei Shemayim over Kares. But again, according to Tosfos, we're not talking about that one has a chumrah over the other. What we mean is that there are people who can eat truma, who if they eat truma, chai Misa B'dei Shemayim, namely Zorim, but those same people can eat eat certain kodshim, and they're not and they're not over on anything. They're perfectly allowed to eat it. And even if it is kodshim, even if it is kodshim, and they eat it, then it's only over on a lav, not on isokaris. Anyway, so that's the first thing, the mem. The choymesh, number two, truma involves paying back a choymesh. Kodshim, you don't have that. If you ate kodshim, you're not paying an extra choymesh. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, before the kodshim, to begin with, you have me'ilah, and Me'ilah involves a Chomish, but once there comes the point in the processing of the Korban, when in the Avodah of the Korban, when it becomes mutter for Kohenim to eat, then there's no more Me'ilah, and therefore there's no more Chomish. And the Eima Pidya, and the third difference is Truma, you can't be Poida, you can't redeem it, as opposed to Kodshim, sometimes you could. And the fourth one, the Zayin, is Vastur Lazorim, that Truma is always also to Zorim, whereas Kodshim, we said there are certain Kodshim, a Kodshim column that Zorim are allowed to eat. So you have things in which Truma has a Chumrah over Kodshim. So again, if we're going to say that the Pasuk is implying that there's something, if we're going to say, on the one hand, we have a Kal v'Chomer, that if Maaseh Sheni, which is Kal, you're not allowed to use up, you're not allowed to burn while it's Tomei, how much more so is something else? Why don't we assume that the something else is Truma? Why instead are we assuming that the something else is Kodshim? And then saying Truma, on the other hand, we have the word Mimenu, which is a meal. And again, the Gemara answers, Hanach Nefishon, again, six is more than four, like the Svara that we used a couple of days ago in the Gemara, meaning the six things that Kodshim have over Truma is more than the four things that Truma has over Kodshim. The Iboisem, a Kodesh Adifa, another answer you could say is never mind the actual numbers. The fact is Kodesh is so much stronger that therefore it outweighs a lot of the other ones. So therefore, you could say that not only do you have six on the side of Kodshim, but one of those six, which carries greater weight than many of the others, is Kodesh. And therefore, that makes us assume that if we have a Kal v'Chomer from Maaseh Sheni to something, and on the other hand, we have a Miut in the Pasuk, that something that applies to Maaseh Sheni does not apply to something else, we're going to assume that the first one is Kodshim and the second one is Truma, and thus that you're not allowed to use up Kodshim, you're not allowed to burn Kodshim for your Hana when they're Tame, for example, again, to take oil of Kodshim and use it for a lamp, but you would be allowed to for Truma. The Gemara continues. Now we said also in the Braisa that if a person eats, we said it's not in the Mishnah actually, we quoted the Mishnah about what Maaseh Sheni and Bikurim have in common and Truma doesn't, and we said the Tana left out at least two things, namely he also left out that Uchlam, Tumas Atzman Loika, that if a person eats Maaseh Sheni or Bikurim when they are Tomei, then he's getting Malkus, as opposed to, we said, a person eats Truma, when the Truma is Tomei, he's only over on an Esser. So the Gemara says, so Mashenkin with Truma. We're saying now it's not like that with Truma, implying Milkahu Deloy Loki Ho Isur Eka, implying you don't get Malkus for eating Truma, which is Tomei, but implying that there is an Isur to do it. So Manolon, where do we get that from? So Amakra Bisharecha Techlanu. The Pasuk says about Psulei HaMikdashin that you're allowed to eat it in your gate, which we said before that Bisharecha means you're allowed to eat it when it itself is Tomei, because we said the Tomei and the Tahor can be eating out of one plate. We don't care that the food is getting Tomei as the Tomei person touches it. So that implies Techlanu, you should eat it, implying Lazeb Eloi La'achar, implying that this Psulei HaMikdashin you can eat with their Tomei, implying something else you cannot. So, and the something else would be Truma. The lava bamikol essa essa. Now we know a general rule that when the Torah tells us an essa, and from it you can infer something that you shouldn't, that you're not allowed to do, then that has the force of an essa. So since the pasuk is phrasing it in the positive, teichlenu, and we're inferring from it a lav to not eat truma in that state, then that constitutes an essa. So therefore, a person is eating eats truma. If a person eats truma, that's tame, then he's over on that essa. Okay. So now returning to that explains then the two things that we said that the Tana left out in the second Mishnah about what Maisa and Bikurim have in common and Truma doesn't. We see the two things that he left out, and we see that we have a basis now for both of them. Why both of those things apply to Maisa and to Bikurim, but they don't apply to Truma. Now, we said in the course of the discussion, we said that how do we know, we said the first Mishnah, which mentioned the things that Truma and Bikurim have in common and Maisa Sheni doesn't. So we started the discussion by asking whether an Oro can eat Maisa Sheni, and Rav Sheshes wanted to prove from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't list that as a distinction, that in fact there is no distinction, that in fact an Oro can't eat Maisa Sheni. Like Gemara said, not necessarily. The Mishnah could have been leaving out things. And how did we know it left out things? Because we said that there are things left out in the Sefer, and therefore, by the same token, we can say that there are things left out in the Reisha. So now the Gemara revisits that point and says, Amar Avashi, Me Reisha Nami Shamet Mina. Actually, you don't even need the Sefer to show that there were things left out in this Mishnah. In fact, you could look at the Reisha and you could see the ton of Rishaya. You could see that there were things left out when we're listing things that Truma and Bikurim have in common and Maisa Sheni doesn't. There's more things, namely Midloi Katoni, because the Mishnah didn't mention V'noigin B'shav Shnei Shavua. Here's another difference. Truma and Bikurim apply every one of the first 6 years of the Shemitah cycle. Okay, they don't apply in Shemitah year, but every other year of the Shemitah cycle, you have to give Truma and you have to bring Bikurim, as opposed to Maisa Sheni is only 4 out of those years. You don't have Maisa Sheni in the third year and in the sixth year, because instead that those years you have Maisa Ani. And another difference, Ve'en Lahem Pidyon. Another difference is that Truma and Bikurim, you can't be Poydah. You can't exchange them for money. Once they have Kedusha, then that's it. They have Kedusha, as opposed to Mashenkin Mamaiser. Now, Maiser is not like that. Maiser Sheni does not apply every year, and Maiser Sheni you could redeem, as the Pasuk tells you. Shmamina, so therefore that shows, says Rav Ashi, from that Mishnah alone, you see that there were other things that it left out that Truma and Bikurim have in common against Maiser. So therefore, once we say that the Mishnah left out those, it could have also conceivably been leaving out the distinction about an Oral, that an Oral, in fact, is allowed to eat Maiser Sheni, but is not allowed to eat Truma and Bikurim. The Mishnah didn't list it. Okay, but we see that there were at least two other things that the Mishnah didn't mention either. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and discuss further on this topic of whether an Oral is in fact allowed to eat Maisa Sheni or not.